Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Everybody, welcome to the In and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, with Jackie Ching.
Hello.
And James Beckett. Sorry for being a little bit behind. I got really obsessed with trying to get the perfect screenshot of Ray coming out of the water in a wetsuit with a gun from the latest episode of Buddy Daddies, and I just couldn't click the button right and didn't get it. So I'm really sad
about
that.
This episode of Buddy Daddies went a little too hard with the good screenshots.
It did. There's really a lot of faces in this.
I can't wait to see what y'all.
So I didn't get a ton of screenshots, but most of the ones I did get were of Miri making silly little faces. And, you know, we got introduced to a new potential antagonist who we haven't really
seen. The Anton Chigurh of anime?
Yeah. the scary guy who just walks into the bar and he's like, I'm back, and if you got any work, you know, let me know. I was like, oh god, this guy's
I want to know is how soon can we get Anya and Miri into like a little toddler boxing ring and just have them duke it out,
right? Yeah,
you remember sock 'em boppers?
Yes,
we need to get him some sock 'em boppers, and we just need
god,
to let
I
him...
love those. So... Actually, that game's traumatic. Why am I saying about that? I was like, I all these terrible memories came flooding in as soon as I said
that. You guys
that.
Have the sock 'em boppers theme song still memorized?
Sock 'em boppers,
oh my god,
more fun than a pillow fight. Put them up, put your hands
what
in,
is wrong with you guys?
Up, put your also... hands inside, get ready to have the time of your life. And then you had to like call to order them, they weren't like in stores.
90s toys were
oh my gosh, kid. You did you have to call.
Yeah.
Wow, all these things I'm flashing back.
Probably because they encouraged you to actively maul your siblings.
Yeah. it was those and, what was that board game? It just had a bunch of spinner things and a marble in it. And the theme song for that went hard.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's fire something, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Was it the little slingshot thing or the cannonball?
It was like Firestorm or Fire. I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's gonna it had the most intense commercials too.
It did. It had a really intense commercial.
Guys,
really...
nothing was like our youth. Let's just clarify that right now.
True.
Let's just literally our toys were just S tier and I think, you know, there was a lot of experimentation going on. Like, I don't think a lot of things were outlawed yet.
Crossfire.
It was Crossfire. And speaking of things that were canceled, I also had the Barbie that had, she had rollerblades on. And, like, the whole gimmick for them was, you know, that they sparkled or whatever. They were, like, lighters.
Oh my goodness.
Upside down. So that's you could hilarious. Roll her across things and it would spark because it was like flint.
Yeah.
I had that. I didn't cause any fires, but I had it now.
That had to have been a hazard.
Yeah. Those dragonflies that you'd like pull the ripcord and they just.
Oh, I love those. I had the fairy
version, but yes.
Yeah, we had the fairy version. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were great.
So cool.
Yeah.
Could definitely take out an eye.
I think they came with like, there were a lot of girls' toys that came with cheap cosmetics too, and I'm trying to remember if the fairy also came with like a little tiny thing of perfume or something, or if I'm just like imagining that.
Did it like put people into anaphylactic shock or something because it was made with like stress pheromones?
Of course. Anyway, for this week's after show, I have two or three news items I wanted to get to. One of them I put in the Discord, guys, and I've already forgotten what it is, but the other two came out within the last 24 hours and they involve trailers that I want to show us.
Fun.
Yeah, one of them is Sailor Moon and the other one is Attack on Titan.
Is this for the Sailor Stars?
Sailor Cosmos. Yeah, the new adaptation of Sailor Stars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they released a trailer for it and I was actually pretty impressed with the trailer. Like all the Sailor Moon Crystal stuff, you know, I have not been big on it. The Eternal movies were okay. The two-part Eternal movies that came out that covered Super S or Supers, but the Crystal TV series.
Did they just remake them? Or did they like take any liberties?
They stuck closer to the manga story. So both like Supers and Stars are a lot different than the manga as far as how the plot goes. Mm-hmm. So the original anime took a lot of liberties with those. And so now they're going back and it feels pretty new because of how different
how much the originals went off. I definitely have one of those in my DVD case. And I'm like my DVD, I don't even know I have DVDs anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, honestly, I have way too much anime.
Do you have a whole like shelf back there or something?
Oh, I have like 3 shelves. Wow. And I don't know why, because I never pull them out. And I don't even think I have a DVD player, but for some reason I'm just a hoarder and I can't get rid of them. Like literally, I think it's R. I think I have Sailor Moon R, the movie. Mm-hmm. I used to have Super Sailor and Moon Super R, the movie S. Is
like one of the best. One of the best.
Is that the
ones.
Candy one?
No, that's Supers.
Okay, because I was like, I did like the candy one. Yeah, creepy, super creepy.
Violinist of Hamelin sort of.
R was the twins, right?
No. Yes, in the TV series, the twin aliens were in that. In the movie, it's just one guy, Fiore.
Oh, it's just, okay, but he looks like the twin.
Yes, but he looks like the twin kind of alien. Yeah. That entire movie was like a Kunihiko Ikuhara vehicle, the guy who ended up making Revolutionary Girl Utena. So it's super gay. It's like,
It's extremely. Like, I was like, the whole time I was like, does this guy like Darien? I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I think this guy's
like low-key
likes Darien. I mean, he is. Now there's no questions about it. But as a kid, I was like,
yeah, I'm going to take you to my planet and put you in a flower and we're going to be together forever because you were nice to me in the hospital once or something.
Yeah, that
like
was
that.
A very, that calling that love is kind of a.
It was more of an obsession.
Yeah, that was like really creepy movie. Yeah. Anyway, good times. Ikuhara we're raised on that stuff.
Yeah. Ikuhara worked on R and he was very influential for S, which is why all the stuff with Uranus and Neptune is so intense. And that one, like their death scenes and everything, like spoilers, they die in that season. And they come
back.
Isn't
that the one where they're like bound together in death, like.
That happens twice. In S, one of the witches five, Udale is trying to get the talismans and Neptune breaks free and tries to save Uranus and she runs through and then she's like shot full of bullets that come out of the wall that have like little cupids on them. So it's like, you know, symbolism and that she dies and the talisman comes out and then Uranus like.
Is that an Ikuhara one? Because that
And then Uranus like sees that she's dead and. So she picks up the weapon, like the big gun weapon that the witch had, and she's going to kill herself with it. And Usagi tries to like wrestle it from her and she pushes Usagi off and then she kills herself. She's just like, holy crap, man. What did you do to these 9 to 12-year-olds who are watching this? This is a lot.
Can we seriously make a best Sailor Moon moments? Because like, just be all that anime is so ridiculous.
Just stream the entire series, just from
beginning
to end. Yeah. No, like offhand, I can think of like some that I'm like undoubtedly need to make. You know, like we're just so wild. First of all, the first season, or like the arc where Nephrite and Malachite and all them. That first one, like that ending, is still one of the most beautiful, most creative things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
With the Moon Kingdom and the destruction of the Moon Kingdom and Queen Bear, like that. Yeah. That is just like if someone. I mean, I guess there's Crystal to make that modernized, but
adaptation of the first season is like it
has no heart, and that could have been done so well if it was modernized.
Yeah.
Anyway,
is
maybe
the original
will...
series streaming? Can you find
on
the
Hulu?
Original?
Yeah, I think it's still on
it
Hulu.
Is on Hulu. You're right. I've rewatched it on Hulu before.
I own it. I might in like three different formats, which is ridiculous. I have the original blue box that ADV released in like the mid-aughts. And then
James, it's a great in the background anime because there's a lot of nonsense that goes on.
Yeah, there's a lot of silliness.
There's literally like 5 minutes of really meaningful material sometimes.
I'm a tokusatsu fan, so I can 100% deal with like the
it's got a lot of that
dumb nonsense.
Yeah, it's like literally like I could come back to it like 3 hours later and I'll be like, oh,
pretty
nothing.
Sure. S, like one of the first episodes of S, one of the monsters is a cat vacuum lady. So she's like, because all of them are ladies and their designs get kind of sexier. Like the further it goes on, it's like, oh, these monsters.
Oh, yeah.
And like, one of, One of
the Sailor Stars alone. Yeah. The Sailor Stars are like in like, I would even say more scandalous than bikinis in ways.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Because they're like in thigh high boots. Advert,
in like the almost look like space colored thongs or something. Like,
who are you talking about? They were black. They were, but it's
like, I'll show them to you here in a second because it's okay. Like a trailer. Yeah,
yeah, it's very okay. Dominatrixy meets alien
or
meets
in the latex. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you'll see it. You'll see
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And the best part, James, is that they're guys in one version, but then they turn into women in another version. So they're just like the most coolest baddies ever. I don't know how to.
It's really interesting. You'll
see. Wait, so like when they transform, they turn into girls, or like
yes.
Okay, so that was in the original, and that's
and they were kind of like, Lindsay, correct me if I'm wrong. They were kind of like a K-pop band, like they were.
Yeah. They're idols. Yeah, they're an idol group called the Three Lights, and so that's actually unique to the anime because in the manga they are always women, but they do pretend to be men in their idol lives, and then when they transform, you know. But in the anime, for some reason, they thought the best way to handle that is to like actually physically have them transform back and forth, and it's like they don't have breasts, and during the transformation sequence, they get breasts, sort of situation. That's how they did it in the anime. Show
truly had to be like a touchstone for a lot of people.
I think. Oh, I bet.
Dude, James, this is what Lindsay and I grew up with.
Yeah.
So like, imagine we're digesting this, mind you, in like. What was it, early 2000s
or like
late 90s early 2000s America, and we're like, this is against pretty much like everything we hear at school, everything I hear at my church, you know what I mean? That's what my thoughts were, Lindsay, when I was watching this. But then it made me love it even more. I was like, I want more of this. Like, I remember my dad bought me the RPG book, and then it like opened up to like Sailor Mercury on a crucifix, and he's like, what is this blasphemy. And I was like, and I was like, oh my God, I love this.
You're show. Like, I'm going to put post-its all over this picture. And just
My wife was, she grew up in a very conservative Catholic household, but one of her favorite manga was D. Gray Man.
Oh,
and so
okay.
she was like in the corner, like, don't go worry about this. This is fine. And like Helsing, she loved Helsing.
Oh, yeah.
So. Helsing. Oh my gosh. Though Helsing was like low key. Like, I was talking to Lindsay. Sorry, Lindsay. I know we're totally going off.
And like, I'm going to hit play. I
know.
Play, you guys.
I was, but really, okay, never mind. I'll bring it up later.
Let's see if I can put soft subtitles on here. That's Japanese.
Okay, in Crystal's defense, it is stunning. It is so pretty.
So those are the three lights, and low-key, I like to ship Seiya and Usagi. Like, I always liked him.
I know! Yes.
It looks like
beautiful.
Yeah. So this is going to be two movies that open in June. So presumably we'll get it on Netflix.
Sorry, like, oh my God, I love this song.
It's from the original, but slowed down. Saying it was into her, like it was a legit thing. Whoops. And this is a totally different
hold on
video.
Can we just talk about bringing the rat tail back,
right?
Come on.
Yeah,
like we need to bring the rat tail back.
Not everything from the early 90s.
I was kind of surprised we didn't get like something kind of updated hair a little bit, because Taiki, the one on the far right, had kind of a pretty far back hairline in the original, and I remember thinking like, really? Like, like,
I'm sorry, I love like that they like all still got her rat tails.
Yeah,
five head,
super long.
Who had a five head?
Taiki had a five head, the brown haired one.
That's mean. And it's I never true. Thought that.
Really? So
you're anyway. What? I gotta Google the 90s version for a second.
It's a lot. A like head? It's a lot too. So
okay, in Taiki's defense, though, they had to get the hair back. You know, the hair pulled back, that's not doing anyone any favors. The other ones had like you know, little these things, you know, that helps the cause. A little bit. See, look at me just on camera doing this helped my five head.
I have too much hair and I need a haircut.
Yeah,
guys.
Lindsay really does. Lindsay's...
Well, some of us wear our five heads proudly and without shame. Every single
I know you've got like a big old bun back there, though, that we haven't seen in a while. You actually have really long hair that you're hiding from us.
Actually, yes. Let's be honest, all three of us are really blessed in the hair department, so cheers to us. Yay.
Every time I've gotten a haircut in like the last 25 years, without fail, But the hairdresser will go, "Oh my god, you have so much hair!" And I just say, "I'm sorry. I don't
yeah, yeah.
Literally, all of us. Like, yeah. I used to hate getting haircuts because they would always make such a big deal out of cutting my hair.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And they're like, so "Oh thick. God, oh yeah. How do I deal with this?" Like, and I was just like, "Dude, this is." I honestly don't get my hair cut because it's like,
it's like you don't have to live with it. Like, I'm the one that has to figure out what to do with it every day.
And it's tangled all the time. And I don't know about y'all, but I had like this like really bad phase where I didn't know how to deal with the curly wavy hair. So it was really just frizzy? Like. Super frizzy, mm-hmm. out of control size. Like it was just like it was a really tough time.
Yeah, that's someday why my hair was pulled back most of the time.
Yeah, no, it's like but we had to learn to adjust. Anyway, Lindsay's like, Jackie, no more side conversations. I forgot what my other one was gonna be. So
it was gonna be about Helsing, but I gotta pull up Attack on
Titan. We were talking about when there was a time in anime when priests were kind of cool and Helsing and Trigun were like around that time, James. Mm.
Yeah, the battle priest was like a
The battle priest was a thing. But now Wolfwood's not a battle priest. He is a undertaker.
What's the term? Mortician.
Bring back the battle priest. Anyway, moving on. That was all I wanted to say. Lindsay.
Also, we found out today, complete aside, but we also found out today what's going on with Attack on Titan, guys.
Yeah. And
it's hilarious. It is very funny to me.
They're doing
personally.
It on purpose at this point. At this
it's got to be like, it's a lot. So we've been waiting to find out when the final season part 3 is going to start, which is already funny enough on its own. And now they announced that it'll be split. Final season part 3 will be split into two parts.
Mm-hmm. That's not funny. Why are you telling me this?
It's really funny because it's dumb.
And if those final seasons are like double, like, I mean, even if they're single length episodes, there's going to be commercial breaks. So that means that we will, in theory, have Attack on Titan, the final season, part 3, part A, which would be the first half of part 1 of part 3 of the final season.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I digested this correctly. So there's going to be a part 3 and it's going to be in a part A and B.
Basically, what it looks
why like... would they do this?
So what it looks like, I can't tell you why. What it looks like is that part 3 isn't going to be a series. It most likely is two like double length episodes. That so because I think they only have two volumes of manga left, something like that. So
why don't they just make it a movie at that point? Just
that's what I mean. I don't even want to defend this decision, but it's like, at least it's not going to be a movie. I thought they were definitely going to go the movie route and then make us all go to the movie theater, which I mean, honestly, maybe I wouldn't have been opposed to, but it's like, I'm surprised they went with this decision, but still seems strange, but okay. Yeah.
So we've got a trailer for this, thing that is happening. So this is Attack on Titan, the final season, part 3, part 1. Oh, I muted it. Sorry. Oh, that's people getting stepped on.
Oh, yep.
Oh, gosh. This already looks so sad.
Yeah. This is the rumbling, right? Like, okay. Yeah, they've made it to land.
Oh, my gosh. That is freaking horrific.
So, okay, that's short.
It was short, but it was, like, really
intense. Still. Stop auto-playing, Spy Family. I don't know a ton of Japanese, but I'm pretty sure Aaron just said Jiyu, which if I remember right is the Japanese word for hope. So that's kind of twisted. Like they showed you all that and then it showed him and with his like him doing the Titanic pose and then saying like this is
but hope. He does think it's hope. Like he thinks it's hope for like them to all, you know, get revenge, which he is hoping will make them feel better.
Yeah. People are wondering also if they might be rewriting the ending, like if it's this going to still be the same ending as the manga or not.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people are upset about the manga ending, right?
Right. And I mean, I feel like it could be either because I feel like based on Isayama's appearance in Anime NYC, he may not have a lot of confidence in the ending he wrote or was, you know, obviously hurt by the response that it got. So if they wanted to do something different, I feel like he would be okay with that. So yeah, I guess we'll just have to see.
It could also be more of like a revision, like instead of a full on rewrite, they just expand it, you know, same story, just different details, different contexts. So
talking about revisions, I was in Little Tokyo and you know, there was a sales bin and there was a ton of Promised Neverland stuff in there and it pained my heart so bad.
I still don't, you guys keep going on with this weird, frankly, kind of annoying running joke about this non-existent season two of a show that we all are frustrated never got a proper follow-up. And like, I get it, it's funny, like, haha, what if they made a season two of Promised Neverland? But I don't know why. It's been like months, guys. Come on.
Yeah,
like,
okay. I'm sorry.
This is gonna make people like go out there and like Google Promised Neverland season two, and they're gonna be really upset when there's literally nothing there.
I wouldn't doubt if James was offered someone was like, if you pay me this much, I'll remove season two of Promised Neverland from like all existence. I think James might be compelled to, you know, he'd think about it. He would think about the payment.
Look, all I'm saying is if Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind were real, I just do it. Except instead of Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet, it would be me and a hypothetical second season of Promised Neverland.
Oh, Promised Neverland, rip. Anyway, sorry to bring that up, but yeah.
As far as Attack on Titan goes, though, if it does end up only being like two movie length episodes, I guess we won't be covering it for the podcast except for like a short one, right?
We'll definitely be covering it. No, we gotta cover it. But
well, I mean, we would cover it, but I mean, we wouldn't be covering it for a full season. Like, we assume that
we'd cover it twice, I guess. We'd just be like, hey, by the way, it came out. Maybe give
you
like a,
you know what, guys,
a very special episode.
In an after show prime was when the final season
part two.
Was it part one? I was gonna say part two.
Both parts.
We did part two or two, right?
Yeah, we've done all of the parts.
Yeah. Part one was a time to be alive, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
No, Jackie,
after show prime was when we were trying to figure out which of the two buddy daddies were tops and bottoms.
People have messaged me about that. And
I need to know what did they say?
Well, they were like, wow, power bottom. And I was like, hold on. I was not included in that combo. I was reacting to that combo. I was like, I was not making commentary or giving an opinion either way. Mm-hmm. Just for everyone watching at home, Jackie was not thoroughly involved in that decision-making process. That
was the video from last week.
So we have proof.
What you said.
Like, shoot, did I? Anyway, yeah. So people were like they were very shocked. I was like.
That you knew what that was?
Not that I knew that it was, that I took part in that. And they were just like, because I think maybe, I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised to hear that from y'all. But then the fact that I started to chime in, they were like, wow, Jackie. And I was like, yeah.
They're like, we'll pray for you.
It's I was like, yeah, wow. I was like, it's pretty
bad. We're on week two of Buddy Daddies.
This is what Buddy Daddies brings out of you. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, James.
Yeah, it's true.
Moving on to Buddy Daddies? No, I'm kidding.
I think we're going to go on to Trigun, unless I feel like I'm forgetting something
like
that I said.
But e-daddies, am I right? Yeah. Okay. I got my one for the week. We can move on now.
How long have you had that in your head?
About 30 seconds.
That's a lie. He's out of it, and he's been waiting to tell us that, Lindsay. Do not even let him pretend.
Yeah.
No, I promise you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was off the cuff.
Am I forgetting any news, though? Because I felt like I sent something in the Discord, which I can't pull up on this computer. I was like, we're going to talk about this.
Let's see here. Well, we talked about Hideaki Anno's in live action Crow film. He's appearing as a judge. Spy Family musical replicates a manga cover. It looks very cute. Jolene Cujo lingerie, which Lindsay and I both said very cute.
Yeah.
Evangelion staff apologize for Chinese movie poster.
That was one I was thinking about talking
about. Was it?
Yeah,
okay. Because
that's
go for
a little more substantial.
I know. I just went from lingerie and then it was like that serious.
Everyone's
like,
wait,
oh.
What? You guys just talk about lingerie in your free time? Yeah. Okay. Maybe we do. All right. So
it looks good. It's a good set.
It is a good set.
Yeah.
The man knows his fashion. It fits.
So I'm just going to, I'll show.
They're all dead.
This is fashion. I think Araki definitely has probably opinions on lingerie. He's, you know, He's an artistic guy,
like,
right?
Aren't like half of his character designs from
like Dior and stuff?
Yeah. Vogue and
That guy knows his stuff.
We're going off the rails.
Suspiciously wonderful skin for his age too, which he claims is only due to washing his face in Tokyo tap water. In case anyone,
that's probably not true.
No, yeah, he's probably lying, but that's what he tells everyone in interviews. Okay, so. What we're looking at here is a case of what appears to be blatant plagiarism.
They didn't even try.
They didn't even try, all right? So on the left here, we have the poster that was supposed to be for Evangelion 1.0 plus, what is it?
3.0
plus, yeah. Thrice upon a time. But this is the poster that was made for Chinese audiences because the movie was going to open there. There's often delays, you know, just between a movie opening in Japan and when it comes to the US or when it comes to China and other places. So sometimes, you know, we still get like new posters and whatnot. On the right, we have a poster for Where the Wild Things Are. And what's in the squares here are the examples of just kind of copy pasting the clouds in these posters.
This is bad. I mean, this is like, on
conceptually,
a note,
it's also very similar. Like,
yeah, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Like, this looks so blatantly like this. You know what it reminds me of? And I hate to bring this up, but
what?
There was an IGN story about a guy who was reading reviews, but just changing them up enough so they wouldn't be recognized, you know, by like, I think like software.
Was it that Nintendo Switch guy?
Yes. And it was about the Dead Cells game, but it was this is exactly what that reminds me of, where it's like, they took the idea, but they switched it around enough where like, you wouldn't recognize it right away. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why he didn't get caught. This person didn't get caught for like years, you know?
The writer you're talking about.
Yeah, the writer. But this is what that reminds me of, because it's like the moon is zoomed out a little bit more, or zoomed in a little more, you know? And then like there's just little tweaks to where they probably thought they could get away with this. You know what I mean?
It's also dealing with Where the Wild Things Are poster. It's created for what's kind of an older movie now. Like, I think that came out. I cannot
imagine that film had much traction in China either.
Yeah, and then also, so it's like, well, the Chinese audience probably isn't going to pick up on that necessarily, because maybe that poster also wasn't circulated in China. They may have had a different poster when that film released there. But it was
a great movie, by the way. If you haven't seen Where the Wild Things Are, you should definitely watch it.
Yeah,
very good.
But the artist who made the original poster is Nico Delort, and so they specialize in this type of, what's it called specifically? It's kind of like an etching style art, where it's, you know, like etching away like on a dark canvas to bring the white color in there. And then the poster on the left, it was made by Huang Hai, which they own the studio, Beijing Zuye Culture Studio, which makes tons of posters for Chinese releases of films. So I'd also kind of be curious if they go back through that studio's output, because they blamed it on like not having the proper checks in place and that sort of thing to catch the plagiarism. But
those clouds literally look control copy pasted.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry.
Delort actually commented on social media and said, they didn't just lift my style. They actually sampled my Where the Wild Things Are poster and clone stamped the clouds.
Yeah, that doesn't look like, okay, because like, listen, people get inspired by things, they get inspired by colors, they get inspired by the way this looks. Like, if they took a black and white theme, and then they made these smoky looking clouds, but it was in someone else's art, like, I've been like, wow, that looks really familiar and is really edging the line. But it's like, okay, they were obviously inspired by it, right? And I'd still be kind of like, but this looks like legit control copy pasted.
That's
not okay. So
The positive side of it is that the studios, you know, come forward and they're actually working with Delort to basically come up with some recompense for what happened. So like, they're not denying it or trying to, you know, sweep it under the rug or anything like that. And the Evangelion staff for the film said, you know, they had nothing to do with the poster whatsoever. So I'm sure they're not pleased, you know, that this is kind of casting a shadow on on the film when they didn't have anything to do with the poster's creation or anything. But
Anos had to deal with being tethered to the legacy of Gainax for 20 years. And
yeah.
Stuff like this, where it's like, just let the man make his
I can movies. Just imagine Hideaki Anno just being like, oh my God, again, sort of situation.
Yeah, after. That's brutal. To be honest, though, the poster looks great. It's just unfortunate that they just like control copied it. Like, it's mm-hmm. like if they would have taken like the themes and the ideas from it and like kind of made it their own, like, that's great, you know, like, and say, hey, I was really inspired by this. You know what I mean? Like, give credit where credit's due, but that's unfortunate. In lighter news, Hideaki Anno will be playing a judge
in a live action show. Yes, he's appearing as a judge in Crows, which I'm not sure if it's related to the manga Crows, which it probably is. That's been really, really popular. It's gotten a lot of live action movies, and Crows and Worst have both gotten a lot of live action adaptations, and it's about, you know, delinquents like kicking the shit out of each other in a school for kicking the shit out of each other kind of stuff. So
I want maybe, to kind of see that.
Yeah. So I'm assuming he's appearing as a judge and something related to that. Like maybe one of the kids is going to juvenile court and then there's going to be Hideaki Anno as a judge in that episode or something like that.
I wonder if the jury is going to come in with their verdict and he's going to be like, I'm sorry, but there are a couple lines in this verdict that I'm not happy with. I need you to go back and spend 2 years redoing it. And they'll just hang their heads in despair and dutifully go and redo it.
Oh man.
And then he'll just write it himself.
Yeah. And then he'll, and he's like, actually, I'm just ad-libbing the whole thing. Never mind. All right. Are we ready to go into episode 2 of Stampede?
It was so good.
It was.
All right. Let me do that. Why is...
And this would be a pretty easy one to recap too, because this was there's not like a whole lot of plot in this episode,
but yeah,
there's just a lot of great action and funny
moments. It was a lot of shenanigans, a lot of running around.
A lot happened though, I feel like.
I was a big fan of
maybe
the
emu. It was just me.
The emu was great. Cute. The emu needs a raise.
Okay, emu was great. The dad and son. I thought they were so cute.
Oh, the like mad scientist dad.
Yeah, and then
loved his big buffoon Frankenstein son.
Yeah. And then like in the end they're like all like hanging out. Well, anyways, I don't want to say what happened. So why don't we let James give his synopsis?
Yeah. Go ahead, James. What's going on in this image here of this boy with the undercut yelling Rem?
Well, so, and this is where my experience as more or less coming into this completely fresh is interesting, because it's my understanding that a lot of this space background stuff was saved for way later on in the original. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here in the anime, we're this is basically flashing back to the same opening from episode 1, where we see young Vash and young, what's his name, Millions Knives?
Yeah, but as a kid, he's called Nye.
Oh, okay. So Vash and his
James just want to say Million Knives, Lindsay. Okay,
I don't blame him.
No. I was like, oh, that's his name. Okay. Vash and Nye, they were living on this. It looks like some kind of space station or spaceship with all these like cryogenically frozen people. Mm-hmm. And stuff started to go wrong and things were crashing and they had to evacuate. And I don't know. I don't think this was in the first episode, because we did in the first episode see little Vash and this Rem lady and this kind of emotional separation. But then in this episode, we got, I think, more of a look at his psychotic twin brother.
Yeah.
Who and maybe this is like, something that's, I don't know if this is a spoiler to ask, but it seems like the implication is that Nye like caused all this destruction so he owned it, at least. He said, finally, my evil plan has finally come to fruition.
Yeah, and you helped me like, do five. It, Vashi.
I know.
Yeah,
Vashi. And he's like tilting. I was like, no, this kid's creepy. Like, that could go into creepiest anime kid moments, which would be another great list we should do, but maybe not. Yes.
This was a kind of a beautiful scene of destruction though too. And yeah, he just says that, oh, I didn't notice this before, but look at Vash's skin.
Oh,
can you tell in this picture? Like, it's like, got
tattoos or
they're tattoos.
Oh my gosh, I did not notice that until you said that.
There's all these little like tribal kind of
really interesting.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
There's the moment.
There's the moment.
Creepy AF.
So he seems like a little stinker.
Yeah. He's a little guy.
They're so cute, though. They're so cute.
Yeah.
Until they weren't.
Oh, actually, now looking at this picture, that's not his skin. It looks like it's some weird.
It's a shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a Tron shirt. Okay,
they're like a Tron shirt.
Got it. So we still don't know who that woman was, though.
Yeah, other than her name's Rem, and that they, you know, Vash at least seems emotionally attached to her.
She was like some sort of guardian. We don't know if it was like mom or sister or just a guardian
caretaker of some kind. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it just switches back to where we're at now, right, James? And it's
Picking back up after the hijinks from last episode. Meryl is continuing to try to get the story of what is up with Vash. And
bro, what's your deal?
Yeah. Why are you the way you are?
Yeah.
And one of the unfortunate things about getting screenshots for this episode is so much of what makes it great are in like little animation moments that you can't screenshot, like she says little nods when she's like, so you're saying that you're not the one committing all these crimes and it's actually your evil identical twin brother. And he's just like nodding like and then when Roberto De Niro and Meryl like kind of call him on how stupid that sounds, he just starts to like cry like a little kid.
I love Vash so much. I love Vash. I'm sorry. Vash is like probably one of my favorite anime characters of all time. And this is kind of going off on a segue, but we were talking about Jamel Williams and how he's just like so big and has such a big personality, but he's like very playful and childlike still, you know? And I was like, yeah, he's basically like an anime character. It's like some of my favorite anime characters are ones like Vash, you know, who are just like big personality, really expressive, really over the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then I like ones that don't say anything and are pretty much emotionless, like Ray from Buddy Daddy. So it's one extreme or the other for me.
Yeah. So do you think when he started crying here, it was genuine, or he uses that sometimes as a ploy to get what he wants, like a child?
Probably both. A little bit of both. Yeah, for sure.
In the same way that a child will like intentionally get mad, but they will still get mad. They'll turn on the cry button and then
Yeah,
I definitely think both.
Then he gets betrayed by the pregnant lady, which is unfortunate.
Is she pregnant? Because she drinks at the end of this episode, doesn't she?
I thought in episode one she was like, oh, I have another baby on the way.
Does she? Maybe I missed that. Because, I mean, I thought she was pregnant. I was
maybe she's just wearing a really wide dress.
Is she pregnant or is she just like a larger lady? I was trying to like kind of figure that out. And then by the end of it, she, you know, I'm pretty sure she drinks ale with all of them at the end of, you know, when there's the big party going on before we get
there. I remember her serving it. I don't remember if she drank it.
She seemed drunk to me at the end, so I thought she'd been drinking. I don't know.
She was happy. A little drunk. I don't know. Yeah. I think she has that pregnant shape, you know?
Where she does.
She definitely is round.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm just giving her too much benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's pregnant and was also drinking. That's also possible.
This whole conversation was not what I was anticipating when I thought we were going to be talking about this.
Yeah,
they live in a desolate hellscape. They're probably not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
So cute.
Poor Vash is, you know, taken by surprise.
Yeah.
And then most of the episode is him running away from people that are trying to kill him.
With his hands in the air.
Yeah.
Refusing to fight back because he's... I forgot how much of a pacifist he is, which is kind of like one of his big personality traits is that like he does not want to shoot or kill people, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because you mentioned earlier like how much are we supposed to take him at face value?
Yeah,
and I do think his childishness seems like genuine.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that growing up with millions of knives probably left him a little traumatized and stunted.
Yeah,
but. It is funny that I think my favorite through line of this episode was, and a lot of it was kind of predictable, but I think, you know, it's a 30-year-old story. And so I'm not going to like fault it too much for playing into some of those tropes, but it does that thing where he seems like aloof and immature and like cowardly, but really he's actively trying to help people. And he's trying to go out of his way to avoid bloodshed and to avoid hurting people. and he's just kind of using jokes. Like, there's one of my favorite lines, I think I got a screenshot of it, is when he's like, but a bullet costs as much as two pizzas.
Yeah.
Which is like his excuse for not shooting people, but I think it's just because he doesn't want to shoot people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think, and this was like this in the old anime too, that he's so powerful and he knows that he could literally like F these people up with like the snap of his fingers, really. You know what I mean? But he like
shoots a bullet out of the air.
Yeah.
So. That was so cool. But yeah, so I do agree with you. I think that like he's definitely trying to, honestly, I think in ways just protect them from him.
Yeah.
You know? That so, which sense. Is kind yeah. of, which is kind of like great on him, you know? So, you know,
I'm also glad that pizza survived the apocalypse, whatever yes. the apocalypse was.
That's true. I did want to comment on this because I noticed this, and maybe this is just me being weird, but I definitely have had some thoughts about this remake and you know, the loss of Millie, which, by the way, someone told me maybe Millie's gonna come back later, to be determined. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking that maybe when they were remaking this, they were trying to make this more, I guess they were thinking of Cowboy Bebop. Because they have the same trio dynamic as Cowboy Bebop, right?
Yeah, and that's, now it's that's a Spike and a yeah, and a Jet,
and a Faye.
Yeah,
and I literally and I tell me if I'm wrong here, Lindsay, but I always thought about Meryl and Millie being a little bit like, I knew they weren't probably like 30, but I thought of them as like mid late 20s. But again, I don't know. I was a kid, right? And yeah. Meryl seems like 18 to me. Mm. Maybe that's just me though.
I think she's like 21 or maybe 19. Right. Okay. We saw her age like for 1 second at the beginning of the first episode, and she is young.
Yeah, so it's just like interesting to me because it's like, you know, we're obviously ticking into we're ticking into our thoughts right now that like what are they trying to make different with this remake? And so when I was watching, I was just like, oh, like maybe this is why they made the dynamic the way they did. They wanted to emulate something like what we saw with Cowboy Bebop. I'm personally a big fan of Millie and Meryl, old Meryl. You know, like I find this Meryl a little bit more mature, but I think that that's what they're trying to do with her. They want her to be more mature, more finding herself. Like this is her like kind of journey of self-discovery and becoming a journalist, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It just, to me, it was just like interesting. I just was like, oh, they're pulling a Cowboy Bebop here.
What was she in the original? She was like an insurance.
They were insurance agent.
Yeah. And she's really bossy. And I, again, like I said, when I just told Lindsay, like, I don't know how old they were. And we watched them when we were really young, but I did think of them as like a little bit more mature. Like I thought of them as like, I honestly like mid 20s, late 20s, but maybe they were younger than, honestly, let me Google it. But I just thought it was interesting because I was like, wow, they literally are just trying to do the Cowboy Bebop dynamic, which I don't hate, but I was just, it was just what I noticed when I was like, what?
What I remember from the original, as far as like the group dynamic compared to this one, is so far I haven't been super impressed with Roberto at this point because he just hasn't really done a whole lot. Like he hasn't had a lot of lines. Yeah. We haven't gotten like a really good sense for him in general, other than the fact that he is apparently an alcoholic. Yeah, he drinks a lot. He drinks and drives and all those other sorts of things. And you know, he kind of scoffs.
I think Meryl was driving. Because I think it's a Japanese style car.
Oh, okay. When I saw that shot originally, I thought he was driving. I was like,
that's it. I thought he
pregnant
was
ladies drinking, guys drinking while driving. You know, there's just no rules here. But yeah, we haven't really got like a really good sense of who he is in this. His personality isn't one for one Millie at all. But yeah, I don't really understand the point of replacing her up to this point because I'm not sure that he's really filling in anything other than kind of being a little more seasoned than Meryl is. So he kind of like scoffs a bit at her inexperience. I feel like Meryl's personality is more or less the same. Like she was really bossy in the original, but it came from a place of, in my opinion, she felt like she had a little bit of superiority on a lot of other people because she was naive. Like she hadn't been around the block enough times. So she kind of thought she was, had kind of a chip on, like, just kind of thought she was hot shit. And then that kind of, I think, she gets softened a bit as she sees Vash interact with, you know, these people that are struggling all over the place as they travel. Millie was kind of the really kind-hearted. She didn't seem particularly bright compared to Meryl, but she was sweet and understanding, and she cared about people. And kind of had that like water off a duck's back sort of approach to a lot of things. And that kept Meryl, that made Meryl less annoying, because you had someone who was basically saying like, quit being so anxious and stressing out and taking everything so seriously all the time.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the, then you had Vash, who was sort of like helpless in a way, but secretly very capable, goofy, you know, kind of guy. And so I miss Millie just in that, like, I really liked what she brought to the dynamic. And also, you know, Meryl was always like short and scrappy, and Millie was, you know, the really tall, tough one with a giant gun. And so they also had that, it reminds me of the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons with the two gangster characters. One's really short, one's really big and a little bit dull. And that in turn was kind of based off of Mice and Men sort of thing. Does anyone know?
They totally had that dynamic. No, I totally agree with you.
George.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a little bit like that too, which was fun. So yeah, I'm not 100% on board with this replacement that we've got so far, mostly because I don't feel like they've made Roberto feel like a necessary character, really. Like, he's not.
I agree. That was basically why I wanted to bring up the convo, because I was just like, what are your guys' thoughts on Roberto? Because, like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, I'm just glad that you're elaborating on it. Because I was like, okay, to me, it looks like they're trying to pull like a Cowboy Bebop here. By the way, they were in their early 20s in the show from the 90s. But like, to me, they just seemed a little bit more, I don't know. Like you said, like, they were like really self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And really capable. And like, Meryl and Millie, you know what I mean? Like, I never felt like, I never got damsel in distress vibes from them. Like, maybe a little bit with Meryl, but Millie definitely could hold her own. And Meryl was super smart. Like, maybe she wasn't physically imposing, but she was like really, really smart.
Yeah.
I think my biggest bummer right now is just like, okay, so you're going to replace Millie with Roberto, then make him like super, really stand out to me. And like, be like, oh, this was like a great like character, and like I miss
Millie, he just doesn't really have any presence yet, you know, other than being a drunk and kind of like, you know, there to like point at
most
Meryl.
I can figure is that maybe they thought they needed a straight man, you know.
Yeah, but
like you said, he needs to be like is it Murtaugh or Riggs from Lethal Weapon? Which one's Danny Glover? He needs to be like Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon. Like, he needs to be full on, like, I'm too old for this shit. Like, he's kind of that, but like you said, he gets maybe three lines this whole episode.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like his way of dealing isn't like exasperated drinking, even. It's just irresponsible drinking. Like, they haven't shown sort of situation. Yeah. It's just like, I just drink all the time, guys.
He just hasn't hit me with anything yet. And I think like someone in chat was like, sorry, but Millie won't survive on her own, she'll be skimmed to hell. And that was like, you know, Millie was not very bright, but the greatest thing about Millie and Meryl was like, I don't think they could have survived without each other.
Yeah.
And I just don't necessarily get that dynamic yet with Roberto and Meryl. And I think that's like what you loved about Millie and Meryl, was that they were just both goofy and both like capable, but both also a little bit like incapable without each other. You know what I mean? And so I guess it's like, I think like, I know what they're going for with Roberto. I just guess it just hasn't really like hit me. You know what I mean? Like, I just am not really super impressed by it. But anyway, that's my two thoughts, two cents.
You guys want to talk about the villains of this episode? Everyone's names in this are ridiculous. I mean, we've already kind of established that with 9 million and all, you know, they haven't like straight out pointed it out, but also like all the different areas are named after months in the calendar, like April, May, February, you know, like February Town and stuff like that. And apparently, you know, states in the United States make for good last names. So we get
My Hero Academia is already leaned into
can play a man named Duncan Idaho, then we are the Hard Punch of Nebraskas can have their
is that Fifth Element? That's Fifth Element, right?
No, it's Dune.
Oh, it's Dune. Okay.
Duncan Idaho. It is, yeah.
So the villains reminded me so much of Alita. And it's so funny because we talked about Alita last week.
I got those
week.
Vibes too. I was like,
this is
classic like 90s anime, like ridiculous idiot villains.
Cyborg. Ridiculous idiot. But also like cyborging a little scary, like even though they're completely stupid. Like, I don't know why. It just gave me Alita vibes because it's like Alita, all of their villains were like really scary, but also like you could laugh at them at moments. And I really felt that with both of these villains. And talking about like the super smart and like the dumb dynamic, right? Like this is that dynamic to a T, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got this screenshot because like literally you have this extendo arm robot man with his crazy father like riding on his back and they're like grabbing on to their ostrich, to the butt of the ostrich or the emu. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah,
this scene like was weird absurd. Mega Man. This is so anime. I couldn't even like. I'm like, we're in a desert. There's a cyborg with his crazy mad scientist dad, and they're trying to catch an emu with like a bounty.
Like Muriel and $6 million the Cowardly Dog had an abominable love child.
Oh, he does look like the old couple from Courage. Oh my goodness, yeah.
He truly does. Yep.
I'm glad though that the father son had this weird sweet dynamic because I feel like if it wasn't that, then it would be darker and then it would be more like Alita, where like, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
But instead,
because, let him die. He's too stupid to live.
Instead, he just repeatedly gets mad at people for like hitting speed bumps because they make his son's head hit the roof of the car, and he's like, "You're gonna make my son stupid. Stop hitting all the bumps." You know.
I actually thought they were kind of cute. Like, yeah. They have a really great moment when they're fighting Vash, you know what I mean? Like just you can see they're super protective of each other, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like them. I think they're just trying to survive in this like awful cutthroat world, which I think is kind of why this episode was really cute to me. Cause it's like, I like when you give your villains more texture, right? Like the last villain in the first episode was like funny and wild and weird, you know, like he pulled out the bazooka, which was hilarious, but kind of like I didn't really care about him, you know, and wanted him to go down. But like with them, I was kind of like, oh, growing attached to them, especially like, I don't know if you guys want me to jump too far ahead, but like when they're in the bar scene, the big boy is like afraid of the cicadas and he's like so sweet, and the dad's like trying to act like he doesn't want to get along with anyone. He's like, I don't drink, I don't want to be here, but then he's like actually like really having a good time with everyone, you know. And
Didn't they escape from a prison? Like we heard that they
they're trying to stay in a prison.
Which I
love the radio show. That was a great little moment at the beginning too, and how it like transitioned right into the opening credits.
Yeah,
that was a cool touch.
Oh, Theo said that the mother was also a giant in the anime manga. So like that's kind of cute that the dad was with this giant lady and they had this giant big boy. Anyway, sorry, thought it was cute.
Oh, and
this was a great fight scene too.
Master Blaster, 100% Master Blaster vibes.
Yeah,
what's Master Blaster?
From Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the big guy and the little guy.
Totally.
Yeah,
especially with all the desert landscape and stuff, too.
Yeah.
I thought this fight scene was really good. Like,
me too.
Yeah.
I mean, Vash is just like pirouetting everywhere. He's just spinning and all that other kind
of
stuff.
I know, I couldn't screenshot any of it because it was just like, it was just a screenshot of that because that's going to haunt my dreams.
I'm sorry, this is a
like,
great
just unhooked his jaw like a snake and just,
That is hilarious. I'm sorry. I love it. And you know what? This episode was so good because it's like it had all these like moral, like, you know,
it was very wholesome.
You know, it wasn't like Sailor Moon spilling out like, here was your lesson of the day. Remember that? And she would appear in the corner talking to Lindsay and they would recap what the lesson of the day was. So, but it was just like, you know, cute about like, you know, families defending themselves. And, you know, I think I love the part where the, I don't know if she's pregnant or not, but the lady was like going to shoot the villains. And then he was like, please don't kill my son. And I was like, I felt that. Like, I was like, and she felt that, you know? And I was just like, this is so cute. Stop. Don't show this. You're going to make me cry. But it's like, I think
they all came together to pull on his giant robot arm to lift him back up so he wouldn't fall down.
And they could have let him die because he was trying to steal their whole plans, you know, but I think that's what was so great about this episode. And what's making me more excited for the show is that it's showing that
you know, every single one of these people is complex and is a little bit of evil and a little bit of good, right? Like this pregnant lady, come on, we looked at her, we were like, this is a good lady, she can do no wrong, right?
And then she's betrayed,
What, mind you, trying to save her children, which I think, like, you know, anyone can kind of like understand that. Like, it's like, hey, like, this is a bunch of mothers. She's thinking of all these mothers, you know. Yeah. But I think it talks about like the toughness of this world where like everyone's just trying to survive and like they're, you know, maybe they're thinking about doing something a little bit evil, but then they, you know, in the end are kind of brought back to this goodness core. As cheesy as it sounds, Vash helps them find that goodness again.
Yeah.
Vash, you know, is a good boy. That is what I'm getting boy. From this
yeah. show. What a weirdo. Just
ruffle his hair a little bit. Just,
I know.
I just want to hug him. Maybe give him like a nice balanced meal.
What's great about him is he's just like such chaotic energy, but he brings out the goodness in people. You know what I mean? And I think that's like, and by sticking to his principles, right? Like he didn't want to shoot them. He wasn't going to sink to their level, for lack of a better word, right? Though I'm not going to lie, Vash is still human, right? Because he was about to leave those people, you know, that plant and leave those people like in a lurch, right? And he was like taking off on his emu or whatever the heck it is, you know? So it's like they're all human, they all are vulnerable, they all give up on humanity at points, you know, like, and that's, I thought this episode just did a really good job with that, expressing that lesson. And the pacing was good, and I liked the villains, and then it ended, don't even show me that because it's gonna make me cry, the cicadas really got me. But then they showed the big boy blowing up.
Did he blow up?
We don't know. We see the explosion.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good for him.
Yeah.
Lindsay, like, how did you notice this?
Okay.
It was like the most depressing end to this episode.
I saw him, like, we had seen these things two other times, or at least one other time in the episode, and they stuck out to me. I'm like, oh, those look like viruses, which is, on a you know, if you look at a virus under a microscope, this is sort of like the classic thing of what it looks like. And they have their DNA in them. And the whole idea is that they infect your cells and inject their own DNA. And that's how viruses propagate. So, you know, maybe I wasn't paying very close attention because I started thinking about viruses or something. But I mean, I saw them like overcome him like this. And I was like, oh no, are they going to like stab him a whole bunch of times? Because, you know, they're going to, or inject him with something, or, and then.
They just blow up, I guess.
Yeah. I don't want him to blow up.
I know, and he's like so sad.
I know, and he's like, help me. And like, but he can't, he's like Hodor from Game of Thrones, where he can only say his name, you know? And I was just like, this got me, because it's like, we literally show him like a minute before, and the little kid's like, here's my cicadas. And he's like, I don't want that. And then all of a sudden,
bugs away from me, please.
Yeah. It was really, really, really fucked up ending. I don't remember, honestly, like from the old anime, this character or anything, to be honest. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't, I hope he's alive.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't remember. And
James, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's been a long ass time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, they looked a little familiar, but it was just like, I couldn't remember what the story was with them.
Yeah.
So. That left us on a cliffhanger. I really hope he survives.
We'll find out till this weekend then.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Hopefully he's okay. He deserves better than to get exploded by a bunch of evil little robots.
Yeah. I know, please.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they did commit a lot of crimes, so I guess I don't know all the crimes they committed, but
that's true.
He still deserves a fair trial. He doesn't deserve to get blown up. He seems like a good boy.
Hmm.
Also, can I just say, before we move on to the buddy of it all?
Yeah.
If you say that the animation in Trigun Stampede is bad, I'm sorry, you're just wrong. This show is gorgeous on every single level. The fight scenes are incredible. It's so, so good looking. So I just wanted to get that out
before people
yelled about it in the comments.
People are like hating on the animation so much. To be honest, I don't even pay attention to that. Like, it's like, I can tell it's CG, but it's not like it's jarring me enough to where I'm like being taken out of the story. And I really thought the fight scene with the dad and the son duo was like really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, oh God, why is the CG so bad? Like, I don't remember thinking any of that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 100% agree. Quanti 5 in the chat says, don't worry, he went to a farm to recover. I just want to say that's really good.
Aww. Okay. Okay, why? That makes me so happy. I don't even care about getting spoiled on that because that makes me just feel better. 25.
Okay, so maybe I'm the only one who read that as, okay, none of you were ever told that your pet went to a farm.
Oh my God! No!
They all go to the same
farm. I just blew up everyone's ears. I'm sorry. Please tell me he's not dead.
I don't know. I thought it was a darkly funny joke. And then everyone was like, "Oh no, that's really cute. He went to a farm." And I was like, "No,
guys, are you telling me that Muffin didn't?
Muffin?
Are you telling me that Muffin didn't go to a farm to play and chase other happy cats and dogs?"
I just, you know, I had two chickens.
Lindsay, you should feel bad now. You should feel bad. Okay. You just destroyed James.
Okay. Because
sorry.
When I was in second grade, we had a life cycle project where we actually hatched legit chickens and then
I'm sorry, chickens are awful. They're evil.
You could adopt them, and so of course I told my mom I wanted to bring home two chickens, and their name were Jackson and Goldie. Those were my two chickens, and we
great
kept
name
them for
choices.
Thank you.
Did one of them kill the other like my pet chickens did?
No, you had pet chickens too. No, my chickens didn't kill each other, but eventually they got bigger, and then they went to a farm by my grandma's house.
Did you just so happen to have some chicken parmesan for dinner that night?
Neither of my parents would actually have had it in them to kill those chickens. So no, they went somewhere. Okay. So that's my trauma. Let's talk about
maybe your grandma had some chicken parmesan for dinner that night.
Quanti, did he die? Oh no, I'm so sad. Please don't kill him. He was so cute. Yeah, let's talk about cute stuff. Here we go. Buddy daddies. Stuff.
Okay,
I've never been more convinced to not have children than watching this show where I'm like,
you don't want to play hide and seek and then also have them like throw their food all over the place and
also have them pull a gun on you and almost get murdered in the middle of an assassination.
And Ray's just like,
so stressful.
Ray is just like, it's not loaded. And no one takes it from her. They're like, because it wasn't anyway.
She just runs away with it and the gun is never seen again.
I'm not gonna lie, the shenanigans in this episode was a little annoying to me. Like the first like 10 minutes, I was like, she's cute, but then it was like, we got it. She's a little kid, she's like kind of annoying, and like I was kind of getting over it. Of course, like the only action we saw was like towards the very end, and then Ray like showed up. Another cute part though was when Ray, when she called him Uncle Ray, and he was like, "No, just Ray." And I was like, yeah. "Ray, you're great, you."
This episode was cute as hell.
That was a cute moment, but I was kind of getting sick of it. Like I was like, "Dude, like
they
got
it." Beat the point home a little more as a parent. There were many things in this episode that terrified me personally, such as leaving a 4-year-old at home for an extended period of time.
I was like,
she's dead.
I'm not even a parent. And I was like, what are they doing? And they just were like, here's some snacks. I was like, what?
I mean, again, they're assassins, so I guess we shouldn't like expect them to be responsible parents, but that was horrifying to me. I tried to keep in mind, like, there's this show on Netflix you can watch called Old Enough. Right, where
with the latchkey kids, or not the latchkey kids, but it's like they send the little kids out shopping and
they send the little kids out on like small small little fetch quests, and there's a camera crew that watches them, and they're young, they're like between 3 to 5 a lot of the time, and like one of them, it was go to the corner store and get everything on the grocery list and pay for it and bring it back home, and like even me, and it's just there's a different feelings of safety, I think, for your kids in Japan than maybe we have here. Because I've watched one episode of that, and I'm like, oh my God, who's going to walk this kid through traffic? He has to cross the street. You know, he gets all of his items off of his list and he pays for them and everything. And he's got them in a bag and it's heavy and he's got to drag it all the way back to his house. And of course, like I said, an adult is watching the whole time because he's being filmed from a couple blocks away or something. But anyway, I tried to keep that in mind.
That's when they
do
the special episode where they reveal that the cameraman is also a 4-year-old that's been given the job of filming the other kid.
I tried to keep that in mind. Like, maybe it's not absurd as much in Japan. But on the other hand, like, I wouldn't leave my 6-year-old at home by himself to go to the corner store to get a couple things and come back, because I just wouldn't do that. They try to leave her home alone multiple times. The neighbor notices and thinks something's wrong. I'm sitting here like, how much, I mean, I don't know, buddy, maybe quit throwing like your envelope of child support money that your ex never picks up for the kid and hire a sitter or put her. I mean, we know eventually they put her in daycare.
Okay, by the way, they're rich as AF too.
Yeah, that's a big apartment.
These two assassins, I mean, first of all, they're assassins. So I'm sure like they're not like killing people for no money because it's pretty intricate plans every time.
Yeah.
And Million Knives is also their nephew. So, I mean, like, they got some income from his. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so, like, I kind of was like, y'all can buy her all these snacks and throw her. What did they say? They're like, we'll be back in 4 hours or something. I'm like, go get a neighbor. And some lady walks by. She's like, what's going on? I was like, any self-respecting bystander. Oh my God, this is cute. She's cute.
She makes a lot of really cute faces.
She does. She's adorable. Actually, I was thinking, like, somebody was like, on Crunchyroll, was like, this isn't a Spy Buddies copy. And the first episode, I didn't, like, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can see that, but not really. This second episode, I was like, oh, wow.
It felt
this
more
is
like a
pretty
spy
much
family.
Like Spy Family. I mean, like, it's just like Anya doing cute things, and you know, one's a little grumpier about it, and the other one's like super. I mean, I guess they're both a little grumpy about it, though. Like, your I think ticks to it a little better in Spy Family, right? Like, she enjoys Anya, right? But yeah, it was just giving me much more of those vibes. I still love Spy Family. It honestly made me think, is this going to be the new isekai, or is it going to be all these like spy? Because I was like, dang, it is kind of like Spy Family, you know.
Spies run a restaurant, spies, you know, heavily.
Is it the new isekai? We'll see.
Two spies and their little daughter get isekai'd.
Oh god.
Okay, yeah.
Can you stop?
Although, can I just say
and then you had to take it farther, James, as always.
I think Miria acts even more like a real toddler
she
than Anya does. Like,
she does. Yeah.
Which is maybe what makes her a little grading sometimes, because it's toddlers.
What do you mean, James? Being a parent is 100% fun all the time.
Much as I would love to play hide and seek for 12 hours straight while dodging like wet underwear and all sorts of other delightful things.
Yeah. Hey, at least she's potty trained.
That's true. Too potty trained. She asks an armed man. To use the bathroom,
she did. That was wildly funny, actually. Yeah. But you know what? It is what is true, James, is that like Spy Family does kind of overlook like how hard it would be to have an adopted child. Like they make it look like really peachy keen, right? Like this is actually very realistic. And I think, like I was saying, like it was even for me as like a single woman in her mid-30s, like I was like, dang, is this what it's like? Because I'm getting annoyed watching this for 10 minutes, let alone dealing with this for like
I had a play date over the weekend with my 6-year-old and his cousin. It was a great play date, but I was actually sore the next day because it included picking children up and throwing them onto a bed to make them laugh, dancing, crab walking on a hardwood floor, pretending to be a cat, playing catch with pillows. We ate chicken nuggets with ketchup, which were fed to me after they'd eaten some of it. So it came like out of their mouth, into my mouth, chicken nugget, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm horrified by all that.
And that
Thank
was
you.
Just like, that was just like, three, that James, was like 3 hours.
And that was
that
just
was
the
just
first
3
30
hours.
Minutes.
Exactly. James and I are like, So, anyway, let's get to the hot Ray part where he comes out of the water in a wetsuit and again shows off his amazing butt. I was like, they're not going to make his butt look great twice. Like, they can't, like, they'll make it, like, more blended in. Like, I just was like, they won't make it, like,
I couldn't get that screenshot. As I told everyone at the beginning of the episode, I was almost late to the show trying to get that specific screenshot and my button finger was not fast enough. Every time he pulled out the gun while he was in the wetsuit, I would press it and then there'd be a delay on the browser add-on and I wouldn't get it. And I would only get this one of what's his face. Still don't know his name in a hat instead.
Still don't know his name. Still don't care. And he's still a mouthy.
I know,
you
I looked
know
it
what.
Up. I looked it up. I think I might remember it. Is it? Oh no, I forgot it.
Well, I think it's Kotsky. Kotsky. It's actually in the opening sequence too. Like it's written on the ground.
We don't care. He's so invisible. And you know what's funny? Like Ray literally is in maybe like, I want to say an eighth of the show.
Literally. Oh yeah, but it's like he just comes on and steals the show every time.
Every time
he's Uncle end, Ray with the good games. How are you?
Yeah, with the good video games. Yeah, she probably broke his Xbox. Feel bad. Yeah,
she probably poured pancake syrup all over it and then tried to put it in the garbage disposal, and then tried to eat it when it was broken and tried to wash it down with Drano. This girl's gonna die.
Wait, did that happen in the show? Or are you speaking?
No, he's totally.
No, I'm just saying. They were like,
honestly, that was really dark, James.
No, I'm just that kid. She's getting shot at by like a dozen different guys.
Okay, so yeah, that part, like, that was the part where my suspension of disbelief kind of got broken. So like, we have Katsuki here. He's got his whole like, I'm gonna fix your internet for you, like porn star get in through the door sort of scenario. That's all going fine. Then Miri has to go potty and then they see each other and that leads to, you know, hide and seek again around the house. And then Ray shows up. He like had a Miami Vice boat and then like parks it on the dock and then like swims and then comes up with, gets his gun out of the case and then just starts shooting. And they all start shooting at him. And there's like, he's on like in a backyard and there's like nothing to hide behind or anything. He's just walking straight forward. None of these guys can hit him. And then Katsuki grabs Miri and instead of like going around to the front or something, he runs right into the line of fire with her and still no one gets shot.
He's an idiot. Yeah, that kind of annoyed me. Though Ginger Frog said Ray running through a million bullets like a true assassin. So it did bother me when he did it. But it didn't when bother Katsuki me did when it, Ray did it. Didn't exactly, when it didn't bother when Katsuki. I was like, this guy would undoubtedly get hit by one of these. And then Ray's like, and I'm like, not Ray though, not Ray. Ray's perfect. Ray can do no wrong. So now it's fine because Ray tried to do it, but not okay when Katsuki tries to. But yeah.
And then they get James, in the boat and they have the chuckle. Miami.
Yes. Did you just hear James's
Yeah,
chuckle?
He did. He went.
He's like. We're obsessed. Lindsay, you're obsessed with Ray. Really you can literally do no wrong to us.
Yeah, he's hot. Look, he's hot as hell. That's that goes without saying. And he, even if he'd had Miri in his arms, I might have even bought it because, like, the joke would be that Ray's just so good at what he does compared to Katsuki.
He can
manage that, but. Katsuki doesn't seem that good at this job.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's because he's getting stymied by a four-year-old.
Yeah, but... I feel like his whole approach would have been okay. Like, they would have probably made it out, maybe, if she hadn't come into the house.
Maybe. So, maybe. I don't know. I feel like
Ray did say, like, this should have just been the plan from the beginning. You should have just let me shoot them.
Well, I guess we didn't give the context that... They were trying to keep a low profile because their whole hotel situation got in the newspaper. And so you're not really a good hitman if they're writing about you constantly in the newspaper. So
agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were but also, I've played the hitman never game, wear a so mask. I know that you can just go in guns blazing and kill everyone and it's fine. There's no problem.
Yeah, and that is not the object of the hitman game. The hitman game, you're supposed to sneak up behind them and not be noticed, which is what obviously Katsuki's trying. Yeah, believe me, James, I learned that the hard way too. I was like, well, you don't just go in there and kill everyone mercilessly? And everyone's like, no, you got to sneak up behind them. I'm like,
why do they even give you the gun?
Why do you think I can't play any of the Metal Gear games?
Yeah,
I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah. You know what I did though? When I played The Last of Us, I did have the patience for it because I was scared shitless of the clickers. So I was like, you know what? I don't mind sneaking up on them because I don't want to have to deal with trying to shoot that fungus looking thing. By the way,
spy family is two spies, their adorable daughter, and the zombie apocalypse.
And they're isekai'd into a zombie game.
Isekai zombies, guys. We need to.
Spy families isekai'd into zombie games.
That's your next fanfic.
I would watch.
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I will say this. Trigun had a lot more heart to me. I thought this one was just kind of like...
It was cute.
It was funny and cute.
It was funny.
It kind of reminded me of one of the lesser episodes of 2022's unsung hero, Akiba Maid War.
Oh,
where
okay,
it was funny and it was cute, but there wasn't like a whole lot to it. It was just...
Yeah. Was it kind of like...
Which episode of Akiba Maid War?
Maybe like
maybe like the
poker episode.
Yeah, that one was like okay.
Which one? Which episode?
The poker episode.
The poker episode.
See, you don't remember it that well because it was only okay. Right.
No, I remember the poker episode and the casino got exploded in the end. There is nothing wrong with that anime. That anime is genius.
Okay, that's true. That is.
It was never slow. It's all perfect. I want to be that crimson girl. She wears one thigh high sock. It's the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Okay, but she also like got shot 89 times.
She did, and it was an epic way to go. Because honestly, like, she's just so absurd and over the top. Her death had to be absurd and over the top. By the way, did either of you guys watch The Last of Us? I know it's not anime related, but
I planned to watch it, although my husband won't because he's like, why do I want to watch it? I already played the game. So
tell him this is for me, Lindsay.
Okay.
I played the game. I thought that the first time I played The Last of Us, the beginning of that game was seriously one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, and I feel like I say this all the time, one of the best things I've seen cinematically, not just for anime. It was one of the best things I've seen cinematically, not just for video games. It was like, it is horrific what happens. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way they're going to be able to do this right in this TV show. I was like, I just don't know how they're going to do it. They up the ante. And I was screaming. I've heard people
say they did it better. Which
I was screaming. Wow. So tell him if he's like, I already know. Like, I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, to be honest, it makes like the first like 15 minutes actually horrific because you know what's going to happen. Like, you're waiting. You're waiting for the switch, right? Like, you're waiting for like stuff to get nuts. And so you're just waiting there on the edge of your seat and feel like you're going to puke. And it's just like not getting there. And it's just like developing. And then it happens and it's nuts.
It's on HBO, right?
Yeah, Lindsay, okay. I think you'd like it. It's post-apocalyptic. It's got scary monsters. It sounds very much Lindsay. James, cool. I'm sure you already already played it. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love those games.
Yeah, because you liked Resident Evil. So I was like, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, it's probably The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2 are probably like in my top five for video games of all time. Like, you should definitely watch it, Lindsay.
They're heavy. Don't play them if you're like not in the mood to be kind of miserable. They're definitely not. Like,
yeah, they're not.
There's no like.
They're not happy.
There's little
levity at any point. No.
Like a little tiny bit, but. It only does it so it can rip your heart out of your chest and then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like literally nothing.
Sorry. Before we wrap, I did want to say maybe next week we could talk about another cute show that's airing right now called The Magical Revolution of the Genius Young Lady and the Princess and the Genius Young Lady. Is that what it's called?
Oh, the lesbian isekais?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that one's adorable. Yeah. I love that one.
That one's really good. Jackie. It's on Crunchyroll and it's called The Magical Revolution of the something Princess and the Genius Young Lady.
Magi Revo?
Yeah, people just shorten it to Magi Revo. Okay.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll be honest, I'm not like, I like these two. I like Trigon and I like this one, but I'm looking for one that I'm in love with and I haven't quite found it.
We might need to marathon Vinland Saga.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Is it already? The first season is solid, but it was I don't know, it was good, but it wasn't great in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I need to go back and revisit.
I need to revisit it. I fell off of it, so I didn't finish the first season.
I love the first season, but it takes it is one of those shows, unfortunately, where I think it doesn't truly become great until the back half.
See, and I was in the first half and I was like, this is fun, but I'm not quite getting it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, but everyone's like loves it. And it's definitely like, it's Vikings doing violent things. Like, how am I not going to like that? But it's just
Fire Hunter.
Yeah. People are also saying the Fire Hunter. I'm going to be doing the reviews for that. So we could also try that one out. It's got old school vibes, old school 2000s anime vibes.
Oh, well, like, really sign me up.
Yeah.
Okay. So. The Fire Hunter and this Magi Revolution.
Yeah. Magi Revo is just cute. I don't know if it'll give us a lot to talk about. Just it's the idea of like,
Don't do that to me. I don't like cute.
Okay.
Don't do that to me. You guys it already know. Really Birdie Wing, not fun.
Birdie Wing wasn't cute. We're not doing Birdie Wing.
Was cute. It was like this lesbian love story with like pink, purple, gold Easter aesthetic. That was like as girly gets. Yes, there was a golf mafia. That was dark. That's it. And there was a snake girl. Couldn't get into that.
I haven't said anything this time. No. I am just... Here, I've been all thinking that we could also talk about campfire cooking in another world.
No, help me. No,
look, when it's coming from me saying that the campfire cooking isekai is good,
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'll watch one of your guys's like lighthearted shows.
Okay. Oh, I thought there was gonna be an addendum to that. Like, but only no, if I was expecting
only
it, but
only if we do a whole episode on Gungrave.
On Gungrave, okay, here we go.
There we go. There it is. There it is.
All good right. night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Watch Gungrave.
Bye. Bye. Yes, yes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.